trouble. You know why?
I don't.
You don't mind me telling you, right?
I don't.
It makes a difference. Why?
I don't.
Very well said.
Agreed.
And so I can play it. But here's the thing. Play it. Make a damn sure you play it correctly.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. If you go chasing rabbits and you know you're going to fall, tell them a hookah smoking caterpillar has given you the call. Call Alice when she was just small.
So, raise your hand if you expected a 6-2 lead going into the third period to happen. Anyone?
My hand is not raised.
Apps, your hand is down, my hand is down. This is a substantial and kind of unexpected lead given how the Sabres have played against Tampa this year. I am the barrister. I'm here with the apologist. Nice Bills t-shirt that you got there, Apps.
Oh, why, thank you.
We are at the one of I think a small number of epicenters, but maybe one of the biggest epicenters of Buffalo sports in Manhattan, Kelly Sports Bar on Avenue A. That rumbling you hear in the background is a double MTA bus.
Once again, we feature the sultry sounds of the East Village. Luckily, Kelly's, while providing a wonderful Sabres feed, aesthetically outside, not so much.
It remains to be seen whether this streetcast is interrupted by any sort of panhandling and or crackhead community of New York City.
One can only hope. One can hope.
I mean, we've gone 2-for-2 in the past. I mean, that's big.
We have. And I almost thought, like, maybe just as you said that, as in the last cast, but it doesn't appear as though we have anyone coming in for change, so
no.
And I have no change to give anyone, so it'd be fruitless for them.
Fair.
At this point
I'm broke as a joke. At a certain point, if that joke kept happening, you listeners would probably just assume we're paying people to do it, which incidentally with the panhandler I kind of did. Anyway, the Sabres are up 6-2. Marcus Foligno with another 2 spot. He's playing just some outrageously good hockey. And Brad Boyce with the last marker of the period. That's not something you see every day.
No.
But the Lightning look like they're still making a game of it, so you can't let the foot off the gas at all.
No, I mean, they're a team that has, title aspirations, and if you're a team that thinks you're going to go deep in the playoffs, you know, we're not far away. I don't know if they're at the same number of games. I know the Sabres, including this one, only have 10 left. So it's that time of the year where you want to start playing your best hockey if you aren't already. And if you drop one at home 6-2 to a team that's, you know, scratching and clawing to try to get into eighth, that's not the right way to go. So you know they're in the locker room saying all the right things and all the cliches and whatever. So we got to bring that same intensity in the last period. And because really, like, particularly after, obviously, it's hard to imagine. It's almost as hard to imagine them winning 6-2 as it is to see that they would give up 4, let alone 5 goals in a period.
Yeah. Both seem equally likely and unlikely.
Right. But that being said, given the fact that we've lost two straight in shootouts, you know, let's just go ahead and win this one. Let's just go ahead and not let another goal in, you know? I'm sure that's what Lindy's basically saying. Hey, let's just go ahead and win it 6-2. That'd be fun.
What was the score going into the second period tonight? Do you recall, was it 2-0 or 2?
It was, I think they scored 1 in the first.
So was it 3-1 then?
Or no, I'm sorry, no. They scored their first, both of their goals came in the second period.
Yeah, that's
so
what I thought. That's the 2-0?
Thing.
Keep, you know, matching them 2-for-1, and it continues to be a fun game.
Yeah, I mean, we drove a goaltender from the game and then scored 2 more. So, I mean, the offense, which has been an issue the last few games, has woken up. And obviously, I'd be one of those Sabres fans to say, well, that means our next game we'll be lucky if we score 2. But, you know, look.
We're wasting them tonight.
Only so many games. No, just it's become commonplace with the Sabres to have just awesome game offensively and then go out the next game and barely muster a shot. But, well, hey, look, no. Only so many games left. They know the odds and the deal here. They got to keep winning. Keep it up.
Absolutely. Well, there's a couple different points that are contributing to that. One of them is Tampa Bay is just not playing very well. I mean, they're still a threat offensively to score, but their defense is, and their goaltending is quite atrocious. I mean, there's no other word for it. That move Drew Stafford made to set up, I guess it was Foligno's second, he just drove to the net. Drew Stafford driving to the net with like making absolutely, he's having a hell of a game tonight. That first goal, the tip in, I don't think I've seen him score a prettier goal than that in over a year, probably. Certainly not this season.
It's funny, right around the time that, you know, I obviously right now I couldn't tell you exactly how long, but it was definitely whenever whether it was a month before the trade deadline, when conversation really started to heat up about trade Roy, trade Stafford. Roy has basically been the same guy, but Stafford has stepped up. I think he's known, I've said before, I don't question Stafford's hustle this year, but even at this point, 15 goals is far fewer than we envisioned when we signed that deal. We need him to produce more. He knows it. And he's playing like it the last few weeks. And,
sure.
You know, if we're going to have any kind of life, if we're going to make a playoff run, he's one of the guys that has to continue to be a contributor. But the other big goal I wanted to point out tonight that was just a beauty to behold.
Corey Trop. What a move.
Tropic Thunder. Just torching the goaltender. Absolutely. I can't even remember who it was. As happens on the legal limit. The details are fuzzy, but we get the idea.
I think it was so their rookie was in then. I think that may have been his last goal he let in. And then since then, Foligno and Boyce have scored. I'm pretty sure that was it. But yeah, I mean, who pegged Corey Trop making that kind of, you know, nice one-on-one move? Just went right by the goal. Did exactly what he was supposed to do. Didn't do too much, so he was playing beyond his skill set. He made just the perfect move. And it was, you know, end of the night for whatever that rookie netminder was.
Right, and playing off what you said, if anyone told you the Sabres are going to score 6 goals in a game, maybe Drew Stafford's name comes up. But what are the odds that Trop, Foligno, and Boyes contribute for the other 5?
These days, Foligno's as good a guess as anybody, honestly. Vanek playing as poorly as he has been lately. He's looked okay tonight. So,
And that's something we mentioned before, and I think is worth noting. When it comes to Lindy Ruff, we've made it known that we feel like ultimately he should be fired. But this is both in his defense and not, that he gets this inconsistent play out of guys. Like Cody Hodgson has a couple points tonight, first time in his 11 games that he's gotten points. But hey, good for him. He earned both of them tonight. But he's only got 2 points. Meanwhile, Marcus Foligno has, 8 points in 5 games since being called up? So, on the one hand, it's hard to say that, like, coaching is so difficult because you want to believe it's, like, an across-the-board issue. But, like, on the one hand, Miller, Trop, Foligno, Stafford, all these guys are starting to play their best hockey at the end of the year, while Vanek, Roy, Hodgson, Boyes just continue to be humongous question marks.
Well, here's the thing. To a certain extent, hockey, I've come to appreciate this about hockey. Everyone goes cold, and the best teams have guys go cold, just not at the same time. I mean, the Sabres team this year had everyone go real, real snake-bitten, couldn't, you know, buy themselves a win all at the same time. And recently, you've had guys going on little runs, and if you can get guys moving like that, it's really self-perpetuating to a certain extent because teams start to play for certain guys. I mean, you don't think that within another game or two of Foligno playing great like this, he's going to have teams out there putting their, you know, some of their better defenders out there when he's on the ice. And so who does that leave, you know, playing against, you know, the 5-6 pairing, you know? And I think that's a big deal with, you know, how this ends up working out. If you can use, you know, if he's getting hot and you suddenly use him during power plays,
right, you can
for instance,
out defenses.
You know, you don't have to put someone who's cold out on the power play. I mean, it's and then you can get them moving when it's four, you know, when it's 5-on-5 and maybe they're just not against the best guys or they're against guys who are beat from penalty, you know, little like nuances like that. And to a certain extent, Lindy doesn't have control over all that. Like, it's so much of it's luck and the guys on the ice making the effort to, like, pick each other up when you can tell someone's, like, a little cold is you have guys that are, you know, and I think to a certain extent that's happening right now. Vanek's cold and guys are stepping up and you don't notice it. You know, this is another game. You know, this is a game no one will be talking about Vanek being cold after tonight.
You'll
be
sure.
Like, he played all right because everyone played well tonight because Vanek wasn't necessarily seeing, you know, tough pressure in the way that he might because there's other, you know, there's other threats out there tonight.
Yeah, no, going to that point, like, Lindy, whether he's getting it all or not, like, he had Foligno out there for his second goal on a power play. You know, he's riding the hot hand in a young guy who's playing well right now and lets him out there, and, yeah, he gets lucky. So, yeah, I mean, you're right, a lot of it with coaching is you do your best to put them in a position to succeed, and then it's up to them. And yeah, a lot of times, particularly in hockey with some goals like we saw. And
so fluky.
I can't remember last Wednesday, I guess it was, the goal Foligno had where he's skating towards the net, takes a knee to stay on sides, and then sort of falls down and kicks one in. And that's one of his goals that we talk about in this streak. But, hey, like, he's getting lucky, and who's to say how long it'll last, but Lindy seems to have a grasp of that.
Yeah, and
he's trying to do, you know, trying to give him more opportunities to follow through.
And I will say one more thing about these young guns. Tyler Ennis, his assist tonight, I guess it was on Foligno's first goal, right? Yeah, the 2-on-1.
Yeah,
gorgeous pass.
Great pass.
Gorgeous pass.
Made a little move to draw the defense in and put one across.
Seems like he may be the center we were actually looking for and couldn't find in the trade market or the free agent market last year to a certain extent.
I don't know. The only thing I'd say to split hairs on him is I think he's to put it nicely, he's as good as any other center on the faceoff. But with the puck on his stick, riding down the ice, he makes things happen. And it seems like even if we don't connect, our presses when he's leading the offense down the ice at least generate some kind of threat. And,
sure,
you know, I got no beef with Tyler Ennis right now. It's hard because he's symptomatic of, I think, a lot of people like to turn on him. I know the Yachtsman's been a guy in the past who has railed on the Sabres for their Lilliputian lineups. But
just little guys.
Little guys who, you know, a lot of finesse.
They got a lot of heart. They're just playing
out
there.
Heart.
They're just, you know, you can't really disrespect those little guys because look at what they're doing.
Right.
So,
so we'll see. You know, it's looking good. We'll come back to you in a little bit, or, you know, at the other end of this musical interlude. I forget that this isn't real time.
This isn't real time, but you have any requests for the music?
This has been a real time. To put it different. See what I did there? Musical requests? Steve Miller Band.
Okay.
Did you done. See the lights as they fell? Serenade.
Welcome back, listeners. I hope you enjoyed the Steve Miller Band as much as we did. And I hope you enjoyed that third period from the Sabres as much as we did. Final score, 7-3. Pominville tacks on another with one of the filthiest things I've ever seen done to someone on a hockey rink. Just, I don't even know who the defender is. I think he's a pretty young kid, but he got absolutely undressed. Pominville, puts a puck right between his feet and then just goes top shelf over Rolly the goalie, who came in and gave up a four spot. So he did his job. And Sabres keep pace with the Capitals, move into ninth place for the moment. Capitals hold off Detroit. I mean, that was one of those games that kind of put you to sleep. And I mean, I feel less amped up after that than I do after a lot of games, even though I probably should be more excited than I feel after a 3-2, like, grinding, you know, very gritty win. But lots of guys going grabbing a couple. Three guys had two goals tonight. Was that right?
No. I think the final math is... We were a little off before. I think it's ultimately it's Pominville 2, Foligno 2, Boys, Stafford, and Tropp with one.
That's a lot of scoring from guys you don't see it.
Yeah, but and assists from Hodgson and Erhoff. I think Stafford also had at least one assist to go. I know he had an assist on Foligno's goal. Might have had another one in there somewhere. No, it was a total team effort offensively, and it showed. I mean, they haven't shown production like that offensively. I mean, really, just, like, obviously, seven goals is a lot. That's awesome. Like, that's obvious. But really, just, like, that complete effort for the full game, just we were in their zone right up until the closing minutes. Like, they weren't, you know, I think... Maybe Ruff talked about it. Maybe they just realized that in those two games we lost in the shootout, I know the one that I saw, they kind of fell asleep at the end of the game, even though, you know, they've been playing well most of the game. In the last, like, 10 minutes, they let, I forget who it was, I can't remember playing last Wednesday, but in any event, we let them back in the game. They win in OT. Tonight, even though they had obviously it's a little easier to take chances still when you got that nice comfy lead, but they have to stay, like, offensively they're only good if they're aggressive. I mean, wow. We know it, but they gotta take chances.
Welcome,
we got
a lot York. Of welcome yeah. to New York. We got an ambulance, we got a Harley, we got an M14 bus, we got bartenders, we got Sabres victory. Avenue A has got a lot of things going on tonight.
A lot of things. A lot of good things.
I would like all the things. I liked what they had to show tonight. Later this week, you know, I think we played... Did they play the Caps? Wow. Hello. Guy riding that motorcycle is a solid 50 years old. He's just loving life.
I think we play the Rangers Friday and the Capitals Wednesday?
I think. Yeah, we also have a game Saturday night.
It's a big week.
You know, it's... I may be going to that Rangers game, but it's possible. Who knows? But in any event, it's not a game I really expect the Sabres to win, which is why I'm glad they pulled out tonight, because this is the kind of game that they need to win if they're going to have any shot of... moving up the standings over these last, I guess, 9 games now.
Yep.
We got a game against the Caps coming up. We got a few. I think we play the Canadiens once again, which is another good possibility for points. We end the season. I'm not looking forward to it, and that's why I'm hoping the Sabres really make a strong push to grab 8th within the next week, because once we go into that. First full weekend of April as we're approaching that. We got the Flyers, I think, that Thursday, and then an afternoon game to end the season against the Bruins, who right now maybe it's a little less scary seeming than it would have been 3 months ago. Bruins are now dropping somewhat like Rock, had been overtaken by Ottawa for third place and had dropped into, I think, seventh, given how strong the Atlantic Division is this year. They're holding the middle of that Eastern Conference down pretty strong. So maybe Boston's not that big of a deal, but ultimately, this is completely an aside, but this is one of the years that, it's always sort of true in the East, but this is one of the years where it's going to be very true, where having the number six seed is the premier spot, other than number one, maybe number two, but between 3, 4, and 5, you'd rather be six, because you play Washington or Florida or Winnipeg in the first round of the playoffs. If you're in the 4 or 5 spot, you're playing maybe Ottawa, maybe New Jersey, Philly. Got an assortment of teams you could be facing right there that none of them you want to be playing in a 7-game series. So it's good. So it's gonna be interesting to see how all that plays out too, just as hockey fans generally, with the Southwest being as atrocious as it is this year, which is, again, nothing new. But the Caps won tonight, so they keep on that eighth spot for the moment, at least. You were talking about baseball a little bit today. Spring training is fully underway at this point.
Fully underway. I'm excited. I don't know where other people are with it. I know I'm in the minority when it comes to being this excited in mid-March, but just a lot of exciting moves happening, and or not exciting moves necessarily, but just developments arising. As much as I dislike him, I like seeing Bobby Valentine mix things up in the AL East. You know, I think he's a blowhard, but it's fun to watch him be a blowhard. You got, you know, the Phillies are just lost Chase Utley today for who knows how long, but that could bring them back down to earth and make what's already looking to be a tight race in the NL East even tighter, not involving the Mets, of course.
No, the Mets are their race to last.
Yes, but that'll be exciting. And, you know, I'm going to try to write about it later in the week, but there's exciting teams coming up out west with the Dodgers, you know, crawling out from under the shell of their awful ownership, and Giants will be back in the race. Arizona looked good last year, so should be fun. I'm intrigued to see what Pujols in LA is going to be like. Wondering what St. Louis will be like without him. There's a lot of new faces, Fielder in Detroit, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. The last few seasons, it's been wide open. No one would have called St. Louis or San Francisco winning the last couple seasons, so I think it's going to be wide open.
Yeah, I mean, as a Mets fan, I'm happy that maybe at least they'll be able to, I don't know, just got to get competitive. And the problem with the NL these days is the Pirates are looking good. There's a lot of teams within the NL that you thought were gimmies for the Mets in past years and would, like, make them a competitive team to go watch if you catch one of those series. And this is not sure things anymore, and I think that's illustrative of many of the problems with the Metropolitans these days.
Well, but big news for them today is
did
that...
Did not see it.
Oh, you did not see. No. Well, I can be the first to tell you, the
Fred Wilpons
settled their lawsuit.
For?
$162 million.
Yeah.
Which is half of what they were asking for.
That's actually substantially less than what they were asking for. I think there was $300 million that was not in dispute, and then there was an additional $700 million in change that was actually being, like, sued on, but, you know, the claims weren't necessarily as clear-cut.
Sure. Well, I think the idea being that yeah, it started at $300 million just as, like, the initial...
Sure.
Lawsuit, but yes, but that if they could somehow prove that, you know, because it came down, I think, like, the Wilpons under the settlement agreed that they were, like, willfully negligent or something along those legal lines.
Well, they probably didn't even have to agree to that. honestly.
But I think, like, the idea being, like, you owe this amount of money because ultimately we're all going to agree that you didn't, well, at least in the eyes of the law, you didn't know anything, but you should have known something.
Sure.
Therefore, you owe this amount. But if the prosecution could have somehow proved
that they did know something,
then it would have opened up the $700 million more that they could have been like, all right, well,
sure,
because they were one of the few that made serious profits.
Yeah.
But to have that in their rearview mirror now, if it's, I mean, financially, it's still going to be a burden.
Well, it's less of a burden than the prospect of.
To not have to have players answering questions about, and what do you think about the lawsuit that's going on right now?
Sure.
It's going to be a big burden off their backs, just in terms of the fact that they're going to be playing a lot of young guys. All they can hope for is build something for the future. So any, or I should say, the fewer distractions, the better, particularly when you're playing in New York. The fewer things to put on the back page, the easier it'll be for a rebuilding team.
Well, I am, you know, speaking of things I don't want to put on the back burner, I am excited about grabbing that boat, the free water taxi.
Yes, sir.
From South Street Seaport up to City Field. It's become a tradition for me. And we were discussing that it's not too far from your current place of residence, and it's a short walk away from my current place of business, so it's relatively convenient for the two of us. And those $5 beers on a free boat, it's one of the greatest things. I mean, it's one of my favorite things about New York. If I'm, you know, not even hyperbolically, it's pretty great time.
I think that sounds like future episodes of The Legal Limit.
I'm pretty sure
that sounds like something that'll
it's our off season. It's our off season. We'll go into cross training. We'll drink shots on the boat, which is what me and the Skiz did last year. Distracting. Summer in New York City is glorious, man. All of those double X chromosomes walking around, and they're double X chromosome legs. In any event, no, Legal Limit, I think we should broadcast from the boat.
Yeah.
We should
it'll happen.
We should toast to Rikers Island as we ride by, as we enter the mouth of the Long Island Sound. I don't even know what that body of water is called there, but Long Island Sound's good. And it's what, honestly, we should just go and not go to the Mets game. We can just go back to my place afterwards and
sure,
watch the Mets and
sure,
drink cheaper beers. And if the game gets out of hand, play MLB on the Wii.
These all sound like great ideas.
All these things could happen. But in any event, yeah, the Mets aren't going to be very good this year. I watched one of their preseason games the other day, and it was atrocious. And they still have decent players here and there, but they lack a lot of depth and have question marks. And I'd probably say like 3 out of their starting 9 at least, like guys who you're not even sure should be starting on any major league club anywhere, much less in New York City.
I liked it when I'm on, you know, from buying tickets a while back, I get emails from the Mets from time to time, as we all do from Sabres or whoever. And I knew they were scrounging for PR when they sent me an email letting me know that Bloomberg News projects Ike Davis to have 23 home runs and 86 RBI.
You got to get there. You don't want to miss him.
So, you know, if Bloomberg News says he's going to have a decent year, then, I mean, maybe I should buy season tickets.
His stock is up.
It sounds like I should go see more games.
That's awful.
If he's going to have a season worthy of finishing 30 games below 500.
To be fair, I would trust Bloomberg News, for instance, over Skip Bayless.
Yes.
Over people who actually get paid to specifically do that, and that's the only thing they do. So there. So what can you do? Skip Bayless knows nothing about baseball. And neither do I, mind you. But it'll be a fun summer coming up. Lots going on in basketball these days, just wrapping it up briefly. But you had said earlier, Apps, that one of the things you're really excited to find out is if and when Derek Fisher signs a new deal and finds a new home.
Yeah, no, I just think it could be interesting. He could be a difference maker. He's a guy who's got a history of hitting big shots and can certainly, for the right team, provide, you know, he can be a mentor to a lot of teams. The two teams that, you know, are obviously the most intriguing and would be, to use a cliche, eye-popping, is either the Miami Heat or Oklahoma City Thunder. Mm. Particularly the Thunder, who have a extremely talented point guard with a very questionable attitude. You know, you would like to believe that a guy like Derek Fisher, who's got, you know, what, 4 championship rings, could probably talk some sense to him. And, you know, obviously also not only has 4 championship rings, but has a ton of experience playing with one of the best players in the league. So who better to tell Brian Westbrook how to best find your niche playing next to one of the best players in the league. So now, at the same time, he could wind up somewhere completely random, like Golden State or Milwaukee or any number of places where he ultimately won't make a huge difference. But if he lands on a title contender, you know, I think he's a guy who could come up with some big plays in the playoffs and be a real leader in the locker room. So it'll be intriguing to me to see where he lands, because the NBA, I think more than any other league, there's always so much action at the trade deadline that teams are not going to be the same afterwards. You know, you look at, particularly in the middle of the pack, you know, the Knicks obviously aren't players right now, but they made their huge move for Carmelo at the deadline last year and totally remodeled. And, you know, the Lakers losing Fisher and whoever picks him up, or I can't remember who, the Clippers have made some moves to pick up guys, and, you know, those moves can sometimes wind up making a huge difference down the road. So
did the Clippers sign Chris Paul? Is that what happened?
Clippers picked him up at the beginning of the season. Yeah, they made a move for, I think it's Nick Young, who's a guy who played in Washington.
I know things.
He's played in Washington for a year or two. He's a talented scorer, but it's hard to know what anyone on Washington is worth because they're such a shit show. But who knows? He might produce for them down the stretch. But we'll see. It's going to be interesting. The biggest surprise maybe is that Boston wound up doing nothing at all. There was so much talk about, you know, which one of their big three was going to get traded, and they wound up doing nothing. So you just never know what teams are going to look like in the playoffs until you get past the deadline, because inevitably a few, if not most, of the playoff teams are going to make moves. So it'll be exciting to see where Fisher lands, exciting to see how it all pans out standing-wise. I'm pumped for the end of the basketball season. Pumped for baseball, basketball. Sabres are good. Bills have Mario Williams. Good time in my life, sports-wise.
Baseball and basketball are fun. Woo.
Counterpoint.
They're not my favorites, but in any event, well, listeners, it's, you know, as we said, Sabres just wrapped up their Monday night game win. Their Monday night win over the Tampa Bay Lightning 7-3. This will probably go up Wednesday or Thursday this week, so it'll be a little delayed as we try and figure out how to do the edits within the course of pretty busy weeks.
We'll post up happily after another win on Wednesday.
There it is. That would be a nice little treat.
Knock on wood.
Knocking on some sort of particle board. I'm not entirely sure. That's what she said.
Zing.
Anyway, listeners, thanks for sticking around. Again, signing out. This is The Barrister with
The Apologist.
Another episode of Legal Limit in the books. I can't sleep because my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer.